wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Separated in our separate studios, and we have actually spent the last few moments prior to the show working on our technology because I seem to be struggling. 2 years into this, I am now struggling with both Zoom and Microsoft Teams.
Well, you know, we only made the migration away from Skype like three episodes ago, so it's not terribly shocking.
And to be fair, I'm now regretting that migration because we never had these problems with Skype, which you poo-pooed.
Well, but I thought that the Zoom calls that we did record actually sounded better than the ones we'd done remotely before, where you would sound good, but I didn't sound as good. And I think the technology, the audio technology in Zoom is better than Skype, since they're basically giving up on Skype. Because Skype's owned by Windows. I mean, Skype's owned by Microsoft, you know. And so Skype and Teams are part of the same organization. And they're going to kill Skype entirely pretty soon. But they haven't bothered to keep it up at all.
They're self-competitors.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Teams was designed for business. But in the wake of everything that happened with COVID, I think they're just like, okay, let's just get, we're wasting our time with this Skype thing.
All right. So anyway, we're coming to you on Zoom. And I do think... Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things you are supposed to take. I think it's an unspoken thing in podcasts. Like even on the radio, when they have a guest, they always say, "Yeah, joining us on Skype." Do you know what I mean?
I wonder, you sort of have to
give it a shout out, don't you?
Yeah.
Which we've done. I'm not worried about not doing it because we've just done it.
I was just thinking you don't have to give a shout out to the other technology you use. Like, you know, we're coming to you over my Verizon, phone line or my Blue Yeti phone, microphone.
Well, can I digress quickly before we start the show proper with something connected to this? So I have Sirius XM or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And I have only recently, I had it in my car and only recently, because unlike you, I'm not an early or a late adopter. I'm like a next century adopter. Like, I'm so far behind. It's only the last couple of months where I'm like, man, I should listen to it on my computer when I'm at home. So anyway, the other week I was listening to the soccer channel and I was listening to a call-in show and they were going back and forth. And obviously it's one of those subliminal things now where I believe that even when you listen to the radio, no one's in the same studio anymore. That is so, like, 20th century. But it was the first time I was on a show and the guy's like, yeah, I'm looking at you on my screen and I didn't know if you were being serious. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, they don't often admit that, yeah, we're not.
Right.
Like, I think...
Well, it's like a number of the sports, you know, where they did, not a ton, but some things where... In COVID, people were doing broadcasts remotely, right? Like, so when the baseball team would go somewhere else, they would still have the home team... broadcast from their local studios, and a couple of places were continuing to do that afterwards. And I think it's cheaper out a little bit, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, why bother if you can see it all on a screen? You know, some of the press people complain about new stadiums don't really have good spots for the press anyway, you know, because they give all that to luxury boxes and stuff, so they don't really see anything unique that you don't see on the replays anyhow. So
we all really
need to go.
We are going to.
I think it's a perk of the job, so I think some of them kind of complain because they're like, part of the fun of being a play-by-play person is getting to go every place with the team. So,
well, so here's the interesting thing I give, because we are going to talk sort of some transcendental, like, sports stuff over the next hour, because we don't talk about sports, but we are going to talk about things related to sports. Obviously, this is a World Cup year, and I don't know, but I want to shout out our last show, The Best Of, where I doubled down. In the best of saying that I'm going to pod every day during the World Cup. But anyway, that aside, and my partner is looking at me on the screen like, yeah, I haven't bothered listening to that show.
Well, considering I didn't know you did done a best of, that's...
well, our listeners knew because they were all thrilled because there was a huge jump in like, oh man, a show's out. But anyway, I think in the US it's being covered by Fox, and obviously they've been listing who their announcers are going to be.
Yeah.
But they now say up at front, and calling games from our studio in California will be. Like, what I mean is, some companies are very upfront now about, we don't send people there anymore. And when you sit and watch the game, it doesn't really matter to me, does it?
No. I mean, listen, if it sounds fine, it sounds fine. And I imagine, you know, they want to get a 120 degree guitar or whatever the heck it's going to be, you know.
So anyway, I guess we should get started with the show with some transgently sports.
You know, this is the second time you said transgently. Are you trying to invent a new word instead of tangentially?
How do you pronounce it?
Well, there's no S. It's tangentially.
Oh, tangentially. Well, I put an R and an S in there.
Yeah. Transgentially. Maybe you were trying to come up with like it's a new.
No. Although I will say that transgentially is slightly different in that it's just someone pretending to be connected to you.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
so it's chat. Anyway, vaguely linked. That's
yeah, right. Well, that's what I was thinking. Like maybe it's more than tangentially. It's like, you know, more distant or less distant. I don't know, but maybe that was your new word for this stuff.
Oh, tangential, because it's a tangent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Hence, it's tangentially.
Yeah. So I threw an S in there and an R, and then all those things in there have like, yeah, completely. It throws you right off, and then it sounds like you're just making it up.
Yeah.
Talking of letters, my mother only recently has got into Wordle while she was here visiting in the States. And now that she's gone back to London, she continually texts me at 6 a.m. with things like, did it in 3 today. Yeah. And I'm like, and I do sort of feel like there was one day where I just couldn't get the word.
Was it khaki?
That was a really annoying word. Not annoying. But of course, my mother got it in like 4. And so she sat there and she kept going to say, do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you? Because I showed up to hang out with her. And of course, the first thing she said was, oh, have you done Wordle today? And I'm like, no. And she's like, oh, I did it in 4. So I had my computer and I was like, okay, let me do it now. And I sort of said it that way because I normally do it in a couple, right? You and I have covered 4. And of course, I was stumped. The whole thing took 25 minutes. And I had to spend 10 minutes listening to her go, do you want me to just tell you? Do you want me to just tell you? And I'm like, and finally I had to say, I just started typing in words just to end it because I just wanted her to tell me.
Yeah, you do get to that point where you're just like, heck with it. I could try everything. Even though I used all these letters before, I just want to eliminate things.
And again, my mom, and I'm sure I'm this way as well. My mom, you know, once I gave up, she suddenly became very apologetic about getting it. She was like, oh, I got really lucky with my second word. I don't care.
She's trying to make her son feel better about it.
Yeah.
Himself.
And I'm like, no, because the fact that you're challenging me and telling me how many you've done it in, well, the goal is not to make me feel better.
We have a regular morning text with my college roommate. He religiously does them. I probably get, you know, 19 out of every 20 that I do it, and other days I miss it. But the other member of the household got in on this text group too. And so now they've like taken off without me. And like, I just don't have as much time to spend in the morning fiddling around with words that start KH.
Well, you're quite lucky. Cause I'm not in a text group. It's just me and my mom.
Yeah. Well,
so what I'm saying is you can sort of like, oh, I'm too busy, but there's other people challenging each other.
When you say she says she got it in 3, she doesn't send you the little share thing?
I don't think she knows how to do that. I mean, I don't know how to do that. So
that's right. When you get it, the little screen pops up and you just share and it creates a text for you that just has the colors and shows you how many guesses you got and doesn't tell the person on the other side.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway. That's a tangent just completely away. I don't know what we're doing talking about.
Have you tried Quirtle yet?
No, what's that?
It's 4 of them at the same time. It's like 4 Wordles on one screen. And each time you guess, it guesses the same word for all 4. And it has what's missing. And then check it out. It's the same concept, but it's more complicated. And I'm lucky if I get it once every 12th time.
Do you enjoy it?
Which, Quirtle?
Quirtle.
I don't really do it that often. I can't say, you know.
See, I don't quite enjoy it as much when I feel like it's a duty, which is what my mother is rapidly turning it into, bless her. But I enjoy Wordle, but I'm not sitting there going, oh, let me try and do, I don't know. I don't feel like it's getting
a little bit like there's all these like standard techniques. You know, you go for a word like this, the beginning, you knock these out, you go after these letters. So it becomes much more of a rote process, and very rarely do you not get it.
Yeah.
So then the difference between getting it in 3 and 5 is really luck. Like, I mean, it just, you know, there's no like super duper magic, you know.
I wonder why they went from 1 to 4. I guess because twirdle. Oh, I mean, it's a different sounds...
There's actually, I think somebody told me there's an octurtle, but I haven't looked at that one. Yet.
An octurtle. I don't know. Like twirdle sounds like vaguely, I don't know, like twerking or something. Anyway, we were going to talk a little bit about different things we'd done this summer. But before we did go to a sports event together that I wanted to talk about a little bit more in depth. Right. But I just threw this at you. Have you seen much live music this summer? Because you are a big live music goer.
Yeah, I've seen a few Phish shows now. We went and saw Green Sky Bluegrass and the Wood Brothers last weekend. I think if we've seen some other smaller ones. I know we have tickets for... we went to see Fleet Foxes. And then I got tickets for the fall for My Morning Jacket. So,
How were my Morning Jacket in the flesh?
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It's great. Yeah. It's a great big loud concert. It's this one's down in Charlottesville. The one that they're doing coming up is at their smallish amphitheater they have there, so it should be excellent.
Oh, nice.
On Monday night, not too convenient, but
I went to see Yacht Rock.
Yeah. was that at the park, the ballpark?
No, they're at a Wolf Trap, which is the famous just outside, out in the north.
Is this actual Yacht Rock bands or just a band covering Yacht Rock songs?
Well, I was completely confused by the whole experience. And I say that, and I'm not being facetious when I say that. When I'd only gone like because other people wanted to go. And right, I was like, right, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody at Yacht Rock that's why they went.
Well,
somebody they knew wanted to go.
I'm not so sure.
Little they know that the other person was saying the same thing and they ought to have just skipped it.
I'm not so sure about that. Cause when we got there, there seemed to be an untold number of middle-aged people wearing like captain's hats. Cause I guess that's the thing you do. So
nobody was wearing a tenille wig to go with the captain's hat.
I'm thinking there were some, I went and it was a very pleasant experience. You know, you sit outside. It was a temperate July evening. You have a few ales, good company, blah, 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 blah. I think part of my problem is I still don't really know. I'm under the assumption that I saw a cover band called Yacht Rock. That's what I think I went to see. And what was interesting for me was, and before I let you go there, I was under the assumption that Yacht Rock was things like Jimmy Buffett. But really, they just seemed to be an 80s cover band. They were playing Toto and the Hall & Oates and all sorts of people. And so I'm not going to lie to you. My point here before you explain it all to me, which I know you will, when I left Yacht Rock, I'm still kind of confused about the experience I had. But I will say this. It wasn't the most unpleasant evening that I had presumed it was going to be. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because Yacht Rock, first of all, to start off, what Yacht Rock is for anybody who's been living under a rock. And by the way, you know, your XM.
They have a channel.
XM stuff. There is a channel, but not only that. But on your computer, you know, there's more channels on the computer than there are on your phone, in your car.
Really? Because I only listen to like 5.
There's a whole bunch of other channels.
Okay. I only listen to like 5. Well, there's too many channels.
I'm trying to look up the Yacht Rock event and see if was it Yacht Rock Review?
Yes. I think that's what they were called. So again, I don't know if that's some sort of like bait and switch where you've given yourself a name that's sort of vaguely. This was the group I went to see.
Yeah. I think it is cover. It's not like a particular band, but I think it is people who did play in some of the bands.
Okay.
And so, but back to the originally, what is Yacht Rock is, I don't think it would be Jimmy Buffett. Like it's easy listening adult. It's West Coast stuff, you know, soft rock kind of thing. And it's got a little, like, I think a lot of Eagles, maybe not all.
They played some Eagles. They played some Michael McDonald, whatever band he was
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Christopher Cross sailing, you know, like it's a little light, but it would stand to reason that you'd go there. And if you see competent musicians doing it, you'd say, oh, this is good. like you probably wouldn't buy a t-shirt, you know, and you're not going to get, you know, buy the album. Whatever.
That's the thing. They were very good. They did play something original, and I'm not going to lie, that kind of sucked.
Plus, part of yacht rock is less about seeing it live and more about the albums were like very smoothly produced, right? Like it's like it's got all the 70s expertise and making it super polished and all. So seeing it live, it's a little bit like, you know, you don't want anything that's really too lively. You just, you know, it's playing it louder.
No, but it sounded great. And you know me, I've been consistent over the years that I am standoffish about live music, right? Mm-hmm. I think I've been pretty consistent, and I'm not suggesting I'm right. That's just always been my position. And you know me, we're getting to the age where you just take a position because you kind of have to, you know, because that's who you are.
Well, especially if you have a podcast. I mean, you know, if you're a regular person, you could just be like, I'm going to leave this in a gray area, but if I have to talk about it, I'm going to have to pick a side.
There was a whole load of people on stage. And of course, you know, you get to a certain age where you shop at these things and you don't buy a program. You don't really know what's going on. Now, in the group of people, we were in a group of nearly a dozen people. One of the guys had gone in advance and gone on the internet and got the set list.
They're probably doing the exact same set list every time. But something that I saw recently where it's like, oh, I can just go check and what this is going to be because it'll be exactly the same.
But it was interesting. It was quite a pleasant evening. And I think it is this, you know, again, we are now both of indeterminate middle age where just in general, you know, then it's no different than some of the movies we talked about this summer, that sort of nostalgia card.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that is. It's
well, particularly food. Now that, like, I don't know that young people even go to concerts. First of all, they cost a fortune, right?
Yeah.
So, but even so, I think more young people are listening to their music in their.
I'm not going to lie. It was a Sunday evening and they began their encore. And after the first song, because I was adamant, it wasn't going to take me an hour to get home. I immediately said, we can leave right now. And people are looking at me and I kind of said, well, because we've heard this before. So
Well, we left ours because when we saw it, Wolf Trap was where we saw Wood Brothers in Green Sky Bluegrass. And Green Sky Bluegrass, by the way, they did a cover of Hungry Like the Wolf in Bluegrass.
Really?
Which was kind of funny.
That'd be interesting.
They do a number of Pink Floyd covers and stuff.
Okay.
But that's only like, you know, one song out of their show they'll do will be like that. But, we cut out early because we'd been there the whole like afternoon, the little tailgate thing, and we wanted to get back. And so it was nice to be able to breeze out of that parking lot. Can be a bit of a nightmare. Thing I was going to tell you as a BMW aficionado is while we're sitting there at our tailgate, a BMW pulled up with, you know, a wrap, you know, where instead of it being painted, it's some sort of like shrink wrapped thing.
Yes.
That was all, it was all glitter.
Interesting.
Like, it was the BMW was completely like, little glitter type of thing. And it turns out they were staff for the place. And so I don't know why they did that. And it was not the greatest wrap because it was like peeling off in parts and they had like patched it with it looked like a bad job of wrapping. And we were on the shady side. So it looked kind of bad. And then, but we did realize when people were walking on the other side, they're on the sunny side. And I think it was much more dazzling with all the sparkles and stuff and look more impressive.
Interesting. All right.
Just thought you might want to do that to yours.
I might do it to the truck.
Yeah, there you go. You were going to talk about sports, but we had a sports movie thing that we needed to talk
about. Let's do that first then.
Yeah, we you know, came out during the course of our, I forget which one of our movies we were previewing, we were talking about this, but I asked, or you volunteered, that you had not seen Field of Dreams.
That is correct. We were talking about the passing of Ray Liotta. That's
right. Oh, right. Yes, because he played Shoeless Joe Jackson. And I understand since then you've seen it. Interestingly enough, when we were texting with one of our common friends on that, he mentioned he hadn't seen it. And I just really shocked that if you went around a room of 20 people of our age, that there'd be more than one person who would say they hadn't seen the movie. It's hard to imagine not seeing, because not only because it was sort of like a touchstone kind of movie at the time, but also, it's on all the time on cable.
So let me say this to that point, and we are. It's funny. I just thought of this. We are going to sort of join these thoughts up when we talk about a sporting event that we both went to. Field of Dreams was released after I came to America, But because I came to America and was not a baseball fan, like my only experience with baseball growing up, and I mean this almost like semi, was basically two films, The Bad News Bears and The Natural. That's all I knew about baseball when I came to America.
And the Yankees are the best. The one with Charlie Sheen.
No, so even when that came on TV, I was already living here. And I'm like, oh, I don't really like baseball. And I can't say I really like Charlie Sheen, frankly. So, do you know
what? Well, Field of Dreams is I mean, it's not really.
No, but I want to say this. To be fair on it, I'm sitting there going, yeah, movie about like baseball dudes from the 20s. On a very base, like movie going level, I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested in watching that. So that's my defense. But after having everyone telling me, oh, you haven't seen Field of Dreams, I found it on Amazon maybe or Netflix, found it on one of those services. I sat through Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're saying it that way, I mean, I'm prepared. I mean, like, I'm going to tip my hand here. Like,
I didn't get it. And I mean this, and I'm trying to be very fair here. And I'm not going to be all like throwaway. I didn't really get it. The one movie that came to me, it's funny because we're going to talk about Westworld later in the show as well. The one movie that came to my mind was, have you ever seen that movie? I think Dennis Quaid is in it. And I can't remember who the dude is, who his son. And his dad's a fireman and his dad has died, but they talk to each other over like ham radio.
Yeah, isn't it called radio or something like that?
Frequency.
Frequency.
And ultimately, and again, I'm not going to lie, I've not sat through that either. But this all felt a bit like, so it's all like to do with his relationship with his dad. And then like, James L. Jones shows up and I'm just watching it all and I'm like, I just didn't get it.
You're supposed to, you know, you didn't get a, I guess, well, having not grown up playing catch, you would have less of a cultural touchstone to get all weepy and, you know, onion slicing in the room kind of thing when they're playing the catch at the end.
Well, that was the thing, though. I didn't get it, but I kind of understood. I think I understood the underlying point about, you know, his dad and memories and all this kind of stuff. But I'm watching it and I'm like, I just don't get any of it. And then, of course, but you know me well enough now that when I watch a film like that, I'm going to suddenly become. I can be quite open-minded, but if I'm deciding that I'm not into this, then I suddenly become very literal. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's made some ball field and then he's surprised that people show up and they don't see. I'm like, just all of it. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, it's definitely weird. Like, so the thing is, I think if you haven't seen it for a while, you go, oh, you know, it's this thing with his dad and stuff. And he builds this thing and you forget all the steps in between where you're like, wait, he had to go and get James Earl Jones and take him to a baseball game. And then they saw something at the baseball game and then they come back. Like, it's a lot of weird steps to get to this point. And then like the imaginary town with the old guy, you know, and all this stuff,
I will say this. I had one overriding sensation through it was.
Is it a book? I don't even know. It must be.
No, it was like, well, I want to say something about the director after, I sat there and I'm like, ooh, Kevin Costner's done a lot of movies to do with sports. And then I'm sitting there watching the film, having a conversation going, you know what I really liked was when he was coach of the cross-country team. I've suddenly decided that for all the movies about sports that Kevin Costner has done, and I know that Bull Durham is a classic, and this, he's done that golf movie. He even did that like Moneyball ripoff about the NFL executive.
Oh, yeah. Day.
What's it called? I forgot what it's called now. It was a Touchstone or a Disney movie from about 7 or 8 years ago where he's the school teacher who's the coach of the cross-country team. And it's a true story. And he takes all these like, you know, it's in this like sort of Central California agricultural area. And it's all, you know, kind of kids like sons of, you know, croppers and stuff like that. And I think, is it called Bakersfield USA? And it's really good. Yeah, it avoided all the cliches. And I remember watching Field of Dreams thinking, wow, he's done a lot of really good sports movies. Ooh, I need to watch the cross country one again. That was my overriding sensation. And then my second thought was, after I'd watched Field of Dreams, I ended up like surfing through the TV and I watched a movie called Sneakers. So as I'm prone to do now, as I'm older, anytime I'm watching something that I enjoy, that I've seen many times, I'll click on the internet to read about it while I watch it. Sneakers was directed by the same dude who did
Second Screening It.
Yeah. Sneakers was directed by the same guy who did Field of Dreams. And because I like Sneakers a lot, I kept sitting there going, yeah, I can't believe the guy that made this made that other tripe. I'm not a Field of Dreams guy.
The other member of the household, big fan of Sneakers. I'm not super duper into Sneakers, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Novel. So apparently, the movie is based on a novel called Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella, which is...
No, I mean, I'll say this about the film. It definitely sort of... Because I think it can be quite hard. I've only ever seen... Christ, what was it? It was huge in the 90s. What's the one with Patrick Swayze? And he's with Demi Moore. And then he dies, spoiler, a ghost. Ghost. What I'm saying is, and I want to give Field of Dreams credit. It can be difficult to pull that stuff off. And so what I'm saying is, when I watched Field of Dreams, I definitely got this sense of, you know, sort of the otherworldly of it. Do you know what I mean? And and I thought like that can, if you don't get that right, it ends up looking like a bad comedy. And so the film successfully pulled it off. I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I just didn't quite get the point. And maybe that's me. I'm trying to be very nice to something that I'm like, yeah. And so when people go, I haven't seen Field of Dreams, I'm like, yeah, oh no, I've seen it and I won't be watching it again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least you can say you've seen it. You've become slightly more American.
Thank you.
One thing I was going to mention is it just so happened, like when we were texting about this and you going to see it, I didn't realize that this is the second year they've done it. They did it last year, but the Major League Baseball has done a game. They call it a Field of Dreams game, and they build a field out in Iowa, cutting it out of the, they put in bleachers and big stands, much bigger than he had in the movie.
Right.
I said, okay, well, I better tune into this. I mean, and I didn't sit it all through, but I can't think of anything more pointless. Like it was like, it just looked like a regular ballpark with corn just to be on the outfield wall. Like, I'm like, there's nothing. Like if at least you were going to do this, you should have done it on what looks like a recreational field with like open things, not had as walls around it, just like a regular stadium. This game was between the Reds
I think it was the Yankees. Or was it? I thought
no. Last year was the Yankees and somebody, I think, and this year is the Reds and the Cubs. Maybe last year was Cubs and Cardinals, and this year was Yankees and Reds. Anyway, Reds are the oldest franchise technically, so I think they get the first dibs on this. Did you know there's some? By the way, apparently they're supposed to take baseball games over to London.
They've been doing that for a number of years. My buddy, went one to. I think it was like.
Those were all preseasons, right? Like, so now they're supposed to bring a couple of real... No, I haven't done any real games.
They did. The Red Sox and the Yankees played there. Look it up. About the year before COVID, they went over there and they played in the Olympic Stadium that you and I have both gone to. And because the actual dimensions of the ballparks for soccer are slightly different, it was like a home run. They played two. They went back to back. Because a friend of mine went on the Saturday and the thing was a run festival. It was like 37 to 30 or something completely idiotic. Because I remember tuning in, they had it sort of early evening in the UK. So it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon here. So I just turned it on to watch it for a little while. I think Fox had the game and they'd gone over there. What's his name?
Yeah.
Their whole team and everything. I want to say this, but modern professional sports has absolutely no shame about anything these days. Because here is my thought about the Field of Dreams game.
Yeah.
And I will say this now for the movie.
And I know what they're trying to, but for people who don't know, like there's a hockey one. They do an outdoor hockey game in a stadium.
Right.
And they're just saying, oh, it's like outdoor hockey. But they don't like pretend it's a pond, but not pretend it's, it's just an outdoor game with the stadium. And so like that one to me is just weird enough to be sort of interesting.
Yes. This is not,
this is one I was just like, listen, on TV, there's nothing unique about this thing.
There's nothing about
it. And it's a night game, you know?
And at the end of the day, what are we doing? We're paying tribute to a movie because most people didn't even know that the movie was of a book. And the whole point of the movie, it's not just some random generic baseball teams. It's about the team that everyone thought cheated. Yeah. Right. So I'm like, really,
they did cheat. It just was a question of, was Shoeless Joe guilty? I think it's a known fact that the Black Sox threw the series,
but is the thing, isn't it? It's not like now, it's not like the Home Run Award has been renamed the Mark McGwire Award or the Sozo, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, that would even be closer, at least to be an actual baseball player. They didn't name it. They don't like, why don't they use the natural? The natural would be better, like, thing they could give out. What's this bat called? Lightning Boy or whatever the heck it is?
So here's my point now. And I've actually read that book. That is a terrific book. I saw the movie and then I found the book in the library and I thought, I'm going to read that. And again, I didn't really know anything about baseball, but the book is fabulous.
I just want to go over that again. So what you're saying is you said you saw the movie and then you went to the library and I said, I'm going to read that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's oftentimes when people, like pretty much any book you would have taken from there, you'd say, I'm going to read that. I don't know if you said it out loud or did you just say that to yourself? Was that an inner monologue or was it like, were they all looking?
I think I stood there in an East London library and said, God dang, I'm going to read that natural book. No, I don't know. Doing a tribute, a natural tribute kind of makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
Shoot, even.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like I said. I mean, like, I don't know why, like, because apparently it got good ratings last year. And I think I read an article before that, and they're like, who knows what it's going to do this year? But they weren't saying this. But I think the gist of it is like, it's not like the fact that they're doing is what makes it interesting to somebody to tune in once. And then you go, like, well, what was the point?
Why do we need to do it again? Yeah.
And plus, people are much more tied to their local baseball team. Like, NFL, you can watch almost any NFL game. It always seems like a big deal. But, like, if you're not really into baseball, seeing a Reds, Cubs game or something like that, it may not be tops of your list.
Have you ever seen them? You've obviously seen Interstellar. There's that great scene. There's a great scene towards the start of the movie where they go to see the New York Yankees, who have sort of become like a traveling, because there's no like real organized sports.
Right. Yeah.
And the Yankees show up and play in like the local high school stadium. I'm like, there's something in that. Rather than, hey, yeah, it's kind of like the movie type. Yeah, I don't know. It's odd.
I tried to watch that, along those lines, that what was the English soccer show about the old time, when people started going pro and they were, it's like done by the Downton Abbey people. It was a series.
Were
recommending it.
I ended up sitting through that and I'm like, this is nonsense.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. This isn't about, like, I just wanted to hear things about, like, soccer in the past. I don't care about the towns they came from and all this.
It's all about towns.
Nostalgia stuff,
One dude's an amateur and one dude's a pro and
right.
got play. And it's all like, and I get it. It's all like a rumination on class and all this kind of stuff. But I'm sitting there going,
And the soccer that they filmed was really bad. Well, I suppose soccer was probably really bad. Like, watch actual soccer, then it would probably seem really bad. But I was like, it's not really that interesting.
As a segue, we actually saw some proper soccer together.
There you go.
We went
pretty
to
proper.
Proper soccer. We went to Baltimore to see one of these preseason games involving two teams from the Premier League, the EPL, as we should refer it to here. We went to see my beloved Arsenal Football Club against Everton, and we all went, and I'd got tickets to sit in the Arsenal end.
You have a whole line of thing you want to talk about, but I'll just quickly mention, I've been to a couple of Chelsea preseason games here in the States. One was at RFK way back, and then one was at the FedEx Field, where the Commanders. still doesn't sound natural, but one of them was against Barcelona, and that was the one at the FedEx Field, and that was packed full. Like, I mean, everybody was there, but they just had everybody, they had not given people sections, you know, they just, right. you know, scattered everybody around, and it was very friendly. I think, you know, they're not in the same league and everybody knew it was a goof. Basically everybody was cheering for it to be a tie at the end so that, cause they would get extra time and
right.
kicks and stuff, even though it didn't really matter, but everybody was sort of cheering for that. It was very good natured ribbing of each other. And the other one that was at RFK, they did not separate the team. I can't remember who they even played, but they didn't separate the teams for that either. Maybe it was Roma, but for this one, that was a new experience for me, is where they brought a game here and then they not strictly separated it like they might in, you know, if you had a home team and a visiting team, but it was pretty separated. I mean, obviously the Arsenal contingent dwarfed the Everton contingent, but, you know, each side had their own little smoke bombs and they were yeah. yelling and doing their songs and stuff like that. Even though I realized even when we're live, like, you know, whenever I'm watching on TV, I can never understand what the songs are. And even I realized, well, it's not about the TV. It's just, I can't understand what the songs are even okay. on there live to know what the words are. I'm like, oh, it sounds nice, but I don't know what any of the words are. If it's not like some weird old song that they just brought back, you know, I don't know what it is.
Well, but so you talked about going to see your team Chelsea at FedEx Field. I had actually passed about 4 years ago. Arsenal had played Real Madrid at FedEx Field yeah. in one of those preseason games. And I had passed on it. Like, I felt there was a part of me who felt like, ooh, what's your deal, man? But I passed on it because I'd heard so many negative things about the FedEx Field experience.
Yeah, I mean, once you're at the field, it took us 2 hours to basically get in the park at the slot right. and half a mile.
And I'm sitting there thinking, so I want to pay over the odds for a preseason game yeah. on a weeknight at an arena where this could turn into like a 7-hour experience.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday night in Baltimore, and we saw this game at the Baltimore Ravens Stadium. I think it's M&T Bank
or something like that. M&T Bank, yeah.
I thought it was pretty decent getting in and out. The sight lines were great. I thought, like, I had a good view of the game. We sat in the lower bowl. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, we met at a bar about a mile from the stadium before the game. It was all relatively... Yeah. You know, you weren't waiting hours to get your drink and your food and what have you. There was a part of me who goes, yeah, when it comes to like a preseason game and these tickets are not cheap, the actual match going experience. Yeah, it's funny. I continue to hear the same horror stories about FedEx Field. Yeah, I wouldn't get it. It came down to location.
Yeah.
I did want to share an interesting experience I had at the game. So obviously I was wearing like a one of my Arsenal shirts, but I was specifically wearing, you know, I was actually wearing a throwback top, one of those classic mm-hmm. retro ones. One, because I like it, and two, the condition of my newer brand ones weren't great. So I'm like, no, I'm going to wear the throwback one. And so I ended up sitting next to a chap. I think he was Ukrainian, at least he said he was Ukrainian. And he was all decked out in the gear. And we were talking through the game. And, you know, he looked at my shirt and then he heard me talk. And we had this really interesting experience where, you know, he's been an Arsenal fan. I don't know how old he was, but he's been an Arsenal fan since sort of being a teenager. And we were talking and I realized through the conversation that he'd never been to yeah. London to see Arsenal. And so it was interesting, you know, we spent the game not talking about the game and the current team. You know, the conversation started with, oh, I really like him and that's money yeah. well spent and this kind of thing. And then we spent most of the second half, he was asking me questions about going to games in England. And he ended up buying mm-hmm. me a beer and a whole nine yards. And I suddenly sort of had this thing. You and I have had this discussion before on this show about supporting teams and why you support them. And the globalization of sports now, where it is things like Major League Baseball's Field of Dreams games and,
right.
you know, teams. You've just looked up on Wikipedia. We've just had a discussion about, oh, no, they did play a regular season game in another country.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, and I suddenly realized where I've been, yeah, I'm not going to go out there because that's a bad experience. For this guy... This is the only time he gets to see his team.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
you suddenly realize, like, wow, this is a massive moment for that person. And I am lucky enough and lazy enough with my personal history with my team to go, yeah, I'm not going to that game because it's a hassle getting a beer. Do you know what right. I mean? And yeah, so yeah. It was an interesting sort of thing.
Like, who's the bigger fan? Who's right. the bigger fan, right? In a weird way.
And it was interesting. You know, you talked about how they are in separate ends. Now, I remember myself and my wife stayed the night in Baltimore. And I remember when we got to the hotel at 2 p.m, there were loads of people wandering around in full, like, Arsenal shirts. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I bet you people have come down from Pennsylvania or wherever to watch what for me is a meaningless preseason game. But for them, this is their big experience seeing their team. And, you know, in the stadium, people were singing the songs and you talked about not knowing the words. I think some of the people didn't know the words either.
We're singing
but, I wasn't too judgmental because I'm like, it doesn't matter. They're giving it their best go.
Yeah, they're just going to hum along.
Like I could tell, everyone would sing certain bits, and then there. I know there's a couple of songs where profanity is the punchline, and I remember sitting there thinking, "Yeah, people aren't sure what to do, so they've not." Whereas if you're at a real game, you're all yelling that profanity at the top of your voice.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, at the end of the game, both teams ran down to their supporters' end and gave all that with their fans. But again, I was just it was actually kind of a. Yeah, look at you, the complaining fan. That dude next to you, this is the only time in his life, this could be the only time that he's going to get to see his team in the flesh. I just thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. We got a big kick out of the fact that you went there. And I believe, if I remember right, it was like a birthday present for you or something like
yes.
that.
Yeah.
And then you really talked to this guy next to you more than any of us.
Well, I got, no one wanted to, everyone wanted to sit together and not sit next to the dude. So I sit next to the dude and then people got upset when he and I were talking about football. And I tried to explain later, well, that's what you do at a game. You talk to complete strangers and share your opinions about why so-and-so is no good. Mm-hmm. But as it was, you know, he was asking me questions. I just thought it was kind of cool. So we've done that.
Did you get his? You know, you guys should be texting each other on a regular basis about the new successful Arsenal and how they're developing.
I'm not getting involved in all of that. Come on, who do you think I am?
Did you invite him to join the James Bond board? Maybe he's a James Bond fan too.
Well, I don't know. He made a big point of saying how he was Ukrainian and not Russian. But normally, when you make a big point out of that, you probably are some Russian, right?
Yeah. Well, but at least you're not so Russian that you're actually going to claim to be Russian. So you know, you're basically. Ethnically Russian, you realize that your home nation is maybe a little problematic.
Crazy. Yeah. Let's see. Well, how long have we gone here? Because I don't have a clock on this.
About 40 minutes.
Okay. You have to keep control of time so this doesn't turn into a 3-hour show for our listeners. Although, as we always say, you can just stop it and come back to it. What do we have next on the list?
You had something about TV shows.
Yeah, we'll be watching some TV too. I've been watching a lot.
Who doesn't watch TV?
Why don't we start with a neat segue from baseball?
And I'll they have a Field of Dreams series on Amazon Prime.
So what's that about?
I'm sorry, not Field of Dreams. League of Their Own, like the Gina Davis movie and Madonna and all of them were in that movie. We watched a preview and we were similarly like, I don't know if that's really going
to
work.
I do want to watch the. Because again, this is sort of tangentially affiliated with soccer. Ron Howard has just put up his movie about the kids in the cave that were saved. I think it's called 13 Days.
Yeah.
And I want to watch that. It looks pretty good. It's been quite well reviewed. Colin Farrell's in it and Viggo Mortensen. And I'm like, ooh, I need to watch that. But I have been busy. This is my segue before we get to what we're going to talk about. We mentioned Robert Redford in The Natural. Robert Redford obviously was a big pal of Paul Newman. They were in a couple of movies together. I caught this series on HBO Max called The Last Movie Stars. And it is a 6-hour history of Paul Newman and his wife, Joanne Woodward, who was also a major league actress. And it's all about, it was, and I'm going to get to it, but it's very interesting. It's all interesting about just the history of movies, the history of a great actor, all kinds of different people are interviewed in it. Obviously, Martin Scorsese, who directed him in Color of Money, which he finally won an Oscar for. But what was interesting about the film was it was commissioned by Newman and Woodward's six kids. And I say that because he had kids from a first marriage, because he left his first wife for her, and then they had more kids. But anyway, what was interesting about this, it was directed by Ethan Hawke. And it is kind of a straight up documentary. But what was interesting is, obviously, many people from that era have passed away. So obviously, we talked about Robert Redford, he's still alive. But a whole load of other people from that era are gone. And so obviously, instead of bringing those people on, what they decided to do is the Newman family, the Newman kids have access to all these hours and hours of transcripts. Basically, what had happened later in life was Paul Newman had worked with a friend of his on a memoir. Mm-hmm. And so his friend had gone and interviewed all these people, Redford, actors, actresses, directors, friends. They were big buddies with Gore Vidal, for example. And what the guy had done was he'd interviewed them, and then they'd made transcripts of the tapes. But for some reason, the tapes got destroyed. I think it was
so this is not film, so this is actually tape. This is like the Monty Python story that Terry Gilliam had to go buy the Monty Python originals because they were just going to tape them over because they were too expensive.
Yeah, so these cassette tapes of all these interviews, I think Newman said, no, just destroyed them. And he destroyed them. So what Ethan Hawke did in this documentary was he got acting pals of his to play the different people. So for example, George Clooney was the voice of Paul Newman. So he just spoke Paul Newman's words.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a cool thing. On an artistic level, it was kind of cool. And so it was less dry than just a straight up documentary. And obviously, if you like any kind of these movies, and obviously Newman made his share of some real greats, it was just interesting. It was interesting where it was done, and it was an interesting way to sort of, tell a story about what arguably Hollywood's first power couple. Like they were, Brangelina before those guys type thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some other even older power couples, but
those were. Yeah, you're right.
Marriage is a convenience, but
yeah. But it was just really interesting. It's on HBO Max. If you have any interest in cinema, I would highly recommend it. Laura Linney plays Joanne Woodward. Ewan McGregor, Sam Rockwell, Steve Zahn. That actor, I kind of know his face, and I don't really know his name. I think is it Alexander Nicola or something? He was in the Sopranos prequel movie. He's the voice of Robert Redford.
Okay.
So yeah, there's lots of people, and after a while, it's interesting.
Was Ryan Reynolds in it?
No.
Oh, it's going to segue that into, like, you were mentioning series, whether you're going to watch the Wrexham series with him.
I am.
Another owner. I'm going to record it because it's like, oh, it's available on Hulu. And like, well, if I watch on Hulu, then I got to watch it with ads. So I'm going to record it all.
No, it's Welcome to Wrexham. It's funny. I had this conversation again about Arsenal Football Club. One of my neighbors asked me, oh, you watching the Arsenal behind the scenes on Amazon.com? And my answer was no. And he looked at me and he goes, aren't you an Arsenal fan? And I'm like, I don't want to relive last year. I'm not interested. And then And then I said,
that's what they do. The F1 series, like, isn't the F1 series all done? It's done the last year, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah, it's
like
always a year behind.
I'm like, why? I mean, I watched it and it was sort of interesting, but I was like, if I'm actually, it's interesting in and of itself, like a reality show. But if I'm actually watching F1, if I was actively watching it, why would I know what happened last year?
It was like, oh yeah, it's all about behind the scenes. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to watch last year. Last year was a very negative time at the start of the season to be an Arsenal fan. I'm enjoying this year, but I do want to watch Welcome to Wrexham, which is coming up.
I have Jesus for my fantasy team.
I think everyone does. Yeah, I've got him.
He didn't pay off. Everyone's got him.
No, he's still got some.
Because everyone wants to have, what's his name? Arland, whatever the heck his name is, but he cost a fortune.
Yeah. I think I'm third in the league, which for me is like heady heights. I've been playing fantasy for 10 years. I don't think I've ever finished anything more than third from bottom. I just don't. Yeah,
it requires too much attention for that league. It's the reason I never got into regular fantasy football, because I'm like, I don't need to be spending time checking on subs each week.
We are both obviously fans of Thinky Sci-Fi. If any of you long-time listeners of the show know that, we've also talked about this show before. But the recent, the most recent series of Westworld is been and done. If you haven't watched it yet, well, spoilers. Although I'm going to say this about Westworld. I think this is the one series where where spoilers are pointless. Because you go work so hard to know what's going on.
If we tell you a spoiler, you're not going to remember it. It's too complicated to explain. I hadn't even thought about the fact we were putting it this end. So if anybody really is planning to watch Westworld, we'd probably give away some things here, although we're not plot recapping anything.
Yeah, we don't do any of that stuff here. Oh, did you watch it? Obviously, yes.
I did. I'm trying to think of your jokey thing about like the Star Wars stuff, because basically I thought first series of Westworld, excellent. Second series of Westworld, still good, but a little bit of a retread. Third year of Westworld, I was like, "What? What are you doing here?" And actually, did we have a fourth? Because this was fifth, right?
This was the fourth series. So what it is that fourth? Westworld. That first series was
the last year. Last year was a mess. Or last year, I mean, it's 2 years ago. Whenever the heck it was, last was like, "I don't. What are you doing?" This one actually was good again. Like, at least until the last few episodes, they've knit it all together in some way that's actually saying something about something. And so, and I'm like, this is kind of interesting. And then it got a little, the last couple of weeks got a little like, well, now it's just people shooting each other up kind of stuff.
I've consistently said, and again, we talk a lot of TV on the show, and I don't think it wouldn't take anyone at home too long to guess our opinions about certain TV shows. I've often said that the first series of Westworld is one of the best 10 hours of TV that I've watched in terms of how it was constructed and put together and everything about it. Mm-hmm. I started to lose the second series. I'm struggling to follow it all. The third series, I'm like, this, it was painful to get through.
Yeah, it's like literally like throwing crap up against the wall and being like, well, there's this idea here. Like, and then they don't follow through. I'm like, what is the point of this?
When the fourth series was about to drop, they obviously did that thing. You go to websites and they're playing the trailers. I'd reached the moment where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. Because there is such a dearth of good quality thinky sci-fi in general. We talked about some different movies.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot out there.
I'll watch crap sci-fi, as you know. Like, I watch some bad sci-fi, there's something about it, because I just want to tune in the next week and see, did they come up with a better idea? Can they come up with a new, more interesting? Unlike a regular plotted show where it's boring, I'm like, this is going to stay boring. But here, at least, there's always the hope that next week they're going to be like, oh, there'll be a twist. Science fiction.
So I did check back in and gave it a go. And like you, I really, really enjoyed it for about 3/4 of the way.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I'm like, okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Exactly. It's like a lot of cool ideas set up. And then I was like, everybody's just kill each other and then we're going to be done. That's it. It's another series. I think I said this about some other series we're watching. I was unaware that they clearly were setting up. I thought this was like the finale series.
No, they've always said there's going to be five.
Okay, well, so I didn't realize. I thought it was a finale series. So I'm like, oh, here it goes. And they got to the point, and I'm like, oh, shoot. They're just setting this up for another thing.
No, I have some theories about that. And I remember going back. I've read entirely different genre, but you and I have spoken about this show at length, The Wire. And I've read, there is this great book, which is one of those compendiums of interviews of, participants in their own voices, called All the Pieces Matter. And it's the oral history of The Wire. I think The Ringer were big on promoting the book. And anyway, everyone involved in it said that that thing got renewed season to season. And they would have to go back into HBO and not know if they, I think it was Dominic West is quoted as saying to one of the other actors after series one going, yeah, don't buy a house. This isn't going to last long type thing. Mm-hmm. Right. Because actors and people who are in it have a different perspective of the whole experience. So HBO, I think, are notorious for, you got to prove it before we front up the money, because let's face it, Westworld looks super expensive. I don't think that thing is cheap to make. So I did some research, and I know that the creators have always said they've got five series. the thing has not technically been renewed. And I went on Wikipedia and the first run ratings, because I know there's no way to classify all that other stuff. First run ratings are in the toilet. Like the first run ratings are like a sixth of the first season. So I do think at a certain moment, I know that they've thrown out some ideas for another season.
Yeah, like I should say, like they did not do it in a way that you had to. It wasn't like, oh, no. Cliffhanger, now we don't know. It was more like, here's a little thing that now they could build off, or it could just end here. Like it could
be that's what I'm saying. It could easily end here, and I'm curious to see what HBO will do. But I'm going to presume, because again, I looked at those rating numbers, and I'm thinking, yeah, I mean,
you know, there's a good chance that they don't even know, right? Like, because, you know, they're busy going through transitions. They got the new ownership and all
that.
They're trying to figure these things out. And so now, you know, they're trotting out this
HBO
Game
Max
of Thrones prequel stuff, right. You know, and there's some other things that are thrown up against the wall. And I think, you know, like, I bet you they pick this or don't pick it based on the fact, do they come up with something else? And if they don't, they'll be like, yeah, do another one of those then.
Do another one of those. Oh, if the Game of Thrones prequel is huge, well, you know something? We're giving them the money. You can do it.
Or they could do this one. Because like, I was thinking they could be setting themselves up for like a movie or like maybe a three-parter or something like that. And you could kind of cover all the last bases there in a way that would keep people happy and you know, maybe be a quick sign.
But it's funny you say that, and I suspect that might be sort of that halfway house. No, we're not up another 8 episodes of this. Right. You know something? We'll give you money for a two-hour movie to do whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is you wanted to say again. Just keep the important themes.
Right. Well,
like this one, I think, went on a little bit too long. So,
well, I am going to say this now after watching Westworld, and if I have one criticism, my biggest criticism is when it comes to the big stuff, they never quite show you. What I mean is this. The whole premise of Westworld is robots obtaining sentience. I understand it's very difficult to show that, but
yeah,
I never quite understood how they did that. It was basically like, oh yeah, they're real now because the computers went haywire. Why? Don't worry about it. The computers went haywire. So what I'm saying is in season 4, where the robots have enslaved people, oh, they're doing it with sound. How? Don't worry about it. They're doing it with sound. Okay. So your two big block, your two massive plot twists in this whole thing. Westworld is about AI becoming sentient. I still don't quite understand. Well, why did it happen?
I will tell you that I don't think that's the theme. I mean, the thing that always interests me about it and continue to interest me in this, and this is, you know, we've mentioned before the podcast, the guys formerly of The Ringer, the two, they do their show.
I forgot what it's called, but I know what it is. Yeah.
But the one guy always was like, I don't care about robots, you know, like I don't care about robots. And my thought, which goes hand in hand with my thought here, was what's the difference, right? Like, that's the point, isn't it? Like we could argue all day, did they become sentient, whatever it is, but how is it really different than being people? Like, are people sentient? Like, you know, like what's our level of sentience, we think? And, you know, how much of what we do is robotic and how much of what a robot does is pretty close to what we are. And so the notion that there's some magical threshold over which we jump over to become human beings. So I always like, well, of course I care. There is at least a fleshed out a character as the regular characters on it. So I'm watching a show. I actually care what happens to robots. Yeah. And his take on it was always like, well, but they're robots. So who cares if they're robot? Why do I care if they're not people? And I'm like, tell me what about their behaviors make it different, right? And so, like you said, like they don't tell you like what happened. Be honest, nobody knows like how this stuff, you know, what's going to happen. You know,
no,
we actually know somebody who just went to work for Google recently, and I was cracking lots of jokes about that guy who like declared that their internal thing had become sentient and ultimately got fired. You saw this in the news. Yeah.
No. Yes.
Our chat bot or whatever it is has clearly achieved sentience and already. And blah,
then
blah,
he
blah,
lost
blah.
His job. Yeah.
He like went out there and then they're like, oh, Google, I'm gonna put you on paid leave for a while. And he kept talking to people. And then they're like, okay, you can go.
So here's the interesting thing. And I guess it depends, you know, with how any of us feel about any of these things. So, for example, Field of Dreams, how you're going to feel about it depends on where you start as a participant. Yeah. Field of Dreams, I didn't get any of the baseball history, so therefore I wasn't interested. When I watched it now, I'm like, this is all, like, it just didn't resonate with me. The original Westworld was a movie directed by Michael Crichton, who wrote all those Jurassic Park, Sphere, all these like techno thrillers. And yeah. Again, this is the difference between the page and the visual. Even when you watch the original Westworld movie, the hook is the robots are out of control because the software is funky. Now, I know that's very simplistic, but even when you read Jurassic Park, he comes up for a theory to explain why the clone dinosaurs are suddenly reproducing on their own and doing their own thing. And I think for me, and this is the issue with thinky sci-fi, I still need some logical steps to keep me in there while we tackle greater philosophical.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that it's not just a problem with thinky sci-fi. It's if you try to write a book or whatever it is on the notion of consciousness.
Oh, it's super difficult. You can't. No, I get
that. You're inside of the issue because you assume you're conscious. Now, like, describe what it means for a human being to be conscious. Well, there's no right answer to that. Philosophers would talk about this stuff. And so to then say, like, robots, or, you know, the dinosaurs, they could produce, that's a pretty straightforward scientific thing. There's no scientific thing to explain consciousness. It's too ephemeral. It's transcendental.
So
transcendental. I don't like it.
So it's transcendental.
Transcendental. Yeah.
So this is my point then when it comes back to Westworld. Is while I've said, I think the first series is one of the greatest TV, 10 episodes of TV. Ultimately, perhaps it should have finished there. Because at some moment, if you're not, and this is the challenge, you know, you have. At a very practical level, everything has to be played by human actors. And so there continually are too many moments when you're watching it on TV where your brain has to remind you, oh, this character actually isn't a human. And so what I'm saying is that the longer you stretch it out, just general viewer passiveness, flaccidness, is your brain stops sort of telling you, like at the end of it, it's like, oh, Ed Harris.
Yeah, that's right. It's not like they're just characters in the thing. Right. There's some characters struggle against the other characters.
Yeah, maybe
they have they have different directives or whatever it is underneath it all.
Right, the big thing is like,
but that's the point of it. Ultimately, they're like really robots. They're just like us.
They're just like us. But if that's the case, if I'm the HBO executive, I'm like, well, what are you going to tell me if I give you another $150 million for 7 hours? So I enjoyed it. It looked expensive. I don't know. There's a part of me, if it came back for a fifth season, I don't know.
I'd have to watch. I watched the Stupid 100 show, and I watched the one with the guy from ER. You know, all these things. Like I'm doing it because what's going to happen? Maybe something will happen, and then
I'm happy to
give it a hard time after the fact.
Yeah. So I don't know.
The thing with robot movies, like these robot shows or things like this with aliens, is they have no need for character consistency. Like they get reincarnating these things as different characters, and you're like, well, fine. You know, like, I mean, like I shouldn't even care that that's Tessa Thompson, even though that she played what we all thought was a human being for the first few seasons or whatever the heck it is. And then she's not. And it's like, okay, so it's just another character. What difference does it make if she's wearing a Tessa Thompson skin?
Well, I will say in a strange way, I know you're a big fan of the Muppets, but let's face it. When I see Muppets now, I'm not sitting there going, "Oh, it's not the original dudes wearing the Muppets." As long as the voice is vaguely approximate.
I noticed with Kermit. Like Kermit's voice is too different, and it bugs me a little bit. But
whereas I'm one of those people, like new Tom and Jerry, I won't watch because it don't look like old Tom and Jerry, right? Yeah, so there is a market. Like new Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah,
you gotta be careful then. Well, how long have we done now here on this thing?
I think we covered all.
We covered it all.
Yeah. For not having done an episode in a long time and really having no plan for this one, this is pretty decent.
I think it both A, held together well, and B, if you're a listener, you're going, seriously, this is what you came back to do?
Yeah, I won't feel bad when you're gone for another month again.
No, but we are going to do, did you see my, we won't spoil it now, but did you did get my email about my taste test idea?
I think so.
All right, we'll talk about
that. I remember you mentioned another taste test, and I'm blanking on what it was now.
But we will talk about that off pod.
That'd be good. We need one of those where we don't actually have to talk about anything wrecking the world, just the things that are in front of us.
We haven't done it. I think our last one was cheese, and that was 2 years ago.
What wasn't the last one? The seltzer beers?
That was also 2 years ago. Seltzer was pre-COVID.
That was the before times, because the cheese was the first one.
Cheese was during COVID.
We taste on opposite sides of the glass door.
Yeah. So we haven't done one since cheese.
That's true.
So we do have one coming.
Okay.
All right. This has been the Atlantic Voice. I'm Zeph.
I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.